Welcome to another installment of This Is Not Normal on the Political Drain podcast with Drill Sergeant Doug, aka Admin Doug, a U.S. Army veteran, teacher, musician, and family man from Jamaica, now fights for justice and democracy through commentary and humor. Follow him on YouTube at Political Drain and at Sons of Liberty Official as Drill Sergeant, aka Admin Doug, continues to protect our freedoms.
Research scientist at Harvard Medical School has been detained by immigration officials. According to court paperwork, Ksenia Petrova, who is from Russia, was taken into custody at Logan Airport last month after failing to disclose frog embryo samples. Her lawyer tells CBS News that would normally result in a fine. Instead, she had her visa revoked. She's currently fighting deportation, saying she fears political persecution if she's returned to Russia.
What's up, YouTube? What's up, Family Liberty? Drill Sergeant, a.k.a. Admin Doug here. I have a story that needs to be told because a lie unchallenged becomes the truth. And the story starts here. Ksenia Petrova didn't come to America to be a martyr. She came here to study how life repairs itself. Believe it or not, irony of all ironies that someone who devoted their life to resisting death could so easily be swept up by a system designed for death itself. At just 30 years old, she was already pushing the boundaries of what we think is possible in biology. Age reversal, cellular regeneration. Petrova didn't just study science, she lived it. She reportedly told people that she wouldn't mind being in prison for life if only she could keep doing her research from behind bars. That's not the kind of thing most people say, YouTube. The thing is, though, none of that mattered when she was flagged on her way back into the country from a short research visit in France. In her luggage was several vials of frog embryos. In the past, there had been attempts to bring the embryos to the U.S., but each time they arrived completely thawed and unusable. On the request of her supervisor, she brought them along on her person instead. And now, she's facing deportation back to a country where she risks once again being imprisoned by the Putin regime for her criticism. I don't think I need to tell you what happens to political dissents in Putin's empire. Well, pretty much the same thing that's going to be happening to political dissents here in Trump's empire. I digress. The absurdity here is profound. We're punishing someone for bringing life across a border, for carrying the raw materials of discovery into a nation that claims to worship innovation, or used to at least. And what are we giving her in return? Torture, maybe even death. Instead of handling the situation like responsible people, reasonable adults, DHS officials handed her over to ICE. We live under a system where border agents have the power to unilaterally destroy someone's life over a misunderstood form. It punishes first, justifies later, if ever. And it's become so normalized that we don't even see it. We just read the headline that say, detained for frog embryos, quote unquote, and then blink in confusion as if something must be broken to let this happen. Like it's a pothole in the road that we can just patch it up. No, it's not. The system was built to do this. Exactly this. It's built to disappear people, built to terrify and destabilize, built to extract labor and obedience and silence, all for the sake of profit, and for some, all for the sake of hate. Quite frankly, one of the biggest changes in my lifetime is that completely predictable motivator of profit is no longer the only one. Hate is actually more of a motivator, or at least as much, in an administration with, say, Stephen Miller in it. You still unsure? You don't know what it's like. I know. You see, here's what happens once ICE gets its claws into someone like Petrova. You're funneled into a legal black hole. You have no right to a court-appointed lawyer. You may not even be told what's happening. Many are held in privately run detention centers where companies like GEO Group and Core Civic make profit off of every single person that they can chuck into a cage. And these centers cut costs wherever they can. Food, healthcare, basic hygiene, when they operate with very little oversight. This grotesque system is not designed for temporary processing. It is designed to grind people down, psychological warfare, via flickering, fluorescent lights and unbroken schedules. Deliberate uncertainty is the name of the game. You have your hearing delayed. Again, you miss your lawyer's call. You're handed forms to sign that you can't even read. You sleep under a tattered Mylar blanket and wake up to a wannabe Gestapo thug screaming in your face about paperwork. This is about creating a deterrent, not just to the person inside, but to everyone watching at home, that it can happen to you. And the truth is, it can. Ksenia Petrova has a name, a face, a story. She has headlines. She has scientists rallying behind her. She even has senators and representatives supporting her. Why? Well, because she checks all the boxes that force the liberal to look twice. Because she's white. And because she's a scientist. She fits the mold of a sympathetic victim, which, in a country where empathy is filtered through race and status, is a hell of a privilege. We know her name because of that privilege. That's it. But where are the names of the 48 people who were disappeared by ICE in New Mexico back in March? 48 human beings arrested in what ICE publicly framed as a crackdown on serious offenders, and yet no one can seem to find them. Advocacy groups, the ones who always have to clean up after state violence, reported that they couldn't identify a single one of them. Just gone. No senator, no representative. No one there to give that story the headline it deserves. This didn't make a headline the way the Petrova did. They disappeared not just from physical space, but from emotional space, from the public's bandwidth for concern, totally and utterly forgotten to the passage of the headlines. And why? Because they didn't trigger that deep lizard brain flicker of this could be me in the mind of the American liberal. And I'm speaking to liberals here simply because trying to speak to MAGA about this is like trying to tell a snake not to eat its dinner. They love this. We're not supposed to. We're supposed to keep that eye open, that knife hand ready to draw for Ksenia Petrova, as well as the 48. But they were invisible before the arrest, and somehow even more afterwards. Petrova's story is tragic, yes, but it's also a rupture in the normal flow of American empathy. That's why we hear it. It's a rupture in that normal flow. It's rare enough to get people to even blink on a normal occasion. In America, empathy is a luxury good. And like all luxury goods, it's reserved for those who can afford it. Or more accurately, for those whose appearance and social value match the expectations of the people watching the injustice unfold. That's the context. That's why her story landed so strongly for some. She wasn't supposed to be the one in the cage. It disrupts the internal narrative that so many people with privilege cling to. That the system, while flawed, only targets people who are somehow deserving of it. The lie that the border enforcement is about dangerous criminals. That immigration detention is a regrettable necessity. That something separates those people from us. It's the same reason why Mexican Americans, Cuban Americans voted against themselves, their own people, because they got a little bit of privilege and they're feeling it. And the first thing they say to a camera while being interviewed by the same people who hate them is, "I'm not like those ones coming across the border now. They're all criminals." It really helps to buoy that privileged spirit. So they drink it in and they believe it. And then someone like Petrova gets snatched, and it short-circuits the myth. Suddenly, the veil slips. Suddenly, the panic sets in. If it can happen to her, commence the pearl clutching. But here's the thing, YouTube, family liberty, it could have always happened to you. You were never protected by justice. You were protected by probability. That's it. And by the selective attention of a society that still sees whiteness and status as some kind of moral armor. It's not that people can't be brought to care about the victims. It's that the system trains them not to, making those lives feel distant, foreign. It filters them out of the moral frame and tells you, you don't need to understand that. They're not like you, or that's over there. Meanwhile, Petrova, the liberal brain, can imagine her in your lab. You can imagine her in your workplace, your friend circle. And so now when it's her, suddenly it's a tragedy. And again, the liberal mind is not some MAGA, twisted, brainwashed, test tube voter. This is a human response that we have to overcome. This is a human response that we have to recognize. That's why I'm telling this story. It's not an indictment, it's a recognition. And I'll repeat again how I started. A lie, unchallenged, becomes the truth. So we exist. So political drain exists. And the truth is, the tragedy of Petrova, that's not empathy, that's narcissism, disguised as concern. Yet despite the outrage, the system doesn't care. Because the system is smart, it will absorb this outrage. It will tell you Petrova is the exception. It will say, this isn't who we are. But the thing is, it's exactly who we are. It's who we've been since the start. We'll be right back right after these words from Herb Digital on our Twitch channel.
What up, Twitch?
What up, Twitch?
What up, Twitch? It's your boy Herb Digital.
Herb Digital.
Herb Digital. Hopped out the Bionic 5, now I'm on iRacing Live. When I'm not dunking on incels or smacking racists, I like to settle down with a little music. If you want to catch me racing, oh, nobody can catch me racing. But if you want to see me racing, follow me, twitch.tv/politicaldraindigital. Knowledge is power.
So my old man's got a problem. Lives by the bottom, that's the way it is.
And last but most importantly, practice your Second Amendment rights and learn how to protect yourself and your loved ones. Shit is getting real spooky out there. And your boy Herb Digital for them games. Herb Digital out.
So my old man's got a problem. Lives by the bottle, that's the way it is. Said his body's too old for working. Said his body's too young to look like it is.
Sure, Trump is back in control of the Fourth Reich here, but the machinery that ensnared Petrova didn't originate with him. It was built over generations, people. Built on the bones of genocide and colonization. Refined by successive administrations. During the Obama administration, deportations reached unprecedented levels. His administration expanded ICE's reach, increased funding for detention facilities, and deepened the database infrastructure that now tracks, flags, and targets migrants with algorithmic efficiency. Obama's actions, and I like him. I like him as a president. And if you don't, just look who came after and readjust your thinking. Two things can be true at the same time. If you thought he was the devil, it's because you didn't realize that Trump exists. So it's important I say that when I'm talking about this. I need you to understand the context, not go so far to the other side that you're willing to see more death to feel better about your stupid vote against Kamala. I digress again. His actions, Obama's, laid the groundwork for the enforcement apparatus that would follow. Over 3 million deportations during this term. We called him the deporter in chief for a reason, after all. Then came Trump's first term. The mask came off. The cruelty was no longer an unfortunate but necessary byproduct of the system. It was the point. Family separation, Muslim bans, migrants crammed into cages, children ripped from parents and lost in a system that didn't even bother keeping the records of them. Trump didn't invent this cruelty, but he did broadcast it with glee, and millions cheered. Liberals, meanwhile, you cried. cried tears that we had too quickly forgotten once Biden arrived in office. To many of us, there was hope for change, but it was always a false hope. While the tone of the machine softened, the engine underneath remained the same. The camp stayed open, right? ICE continued to detain people indefinitely, right? Asylum seekers were still deported en masse. The system still criminalized migration, still privileged whiteness, and still turned human movement and existence into a threat. And in my opinion, what's much worse was that instead of resisting the fascist framework of the GOP, Biden leaned in, and so did Kamala, and tried to pass one of the most draconian immigration laws this country has seen, only for it to flop and validate right-wing hysteria, ushering Trump back into power. If you ever once said, oh, Biden has to do something, you were just taking your talking points from the system looking to justify itself. That's it. And the cycle continues. The system adapts to the performance of whoever is in charge, with the core function of remaining unchanged: control, punishment, erasure. It just survives by adapting its facade while maintaining its oppressive core. And unless we confront that reality, people like Ksenia Petrova will keep falling into the gears one after the other. Today, they'll send you to an ICE detention facility in CECOT. Tomorrow, it's places like Rwanda. You haven't heard that news yet. Yeah, I know. This for another video. But they're already in talks. That's the cliff notes. With Rwanda. Why am I here? I'm here to remind you. Activists warned you. Migrants warned you. Abolitionists, organizers, whistleblowers, they all warned us. They warned you. For years, fucking decades, the signs were bright red and screaming, and damn near not a single person seemed to care. Maybe one, maybe two. But none of it reached us. The collective. Perhaps we didn't recognize the people it was happening to. Maybe they didn't look like us. And now for the more painful layer of that statement. The group that has the most privilege and the most power. Maybe they didn't look like you. So now what's happening to someone who does? And now you feel it. Now it's real. Good. Let that discomfort at your apathy settle in. Let it hurt. But don't you dare pretend this is new. We've long lived under a state that can seize you, cage you, deport you, regardless of your contributions, your credentials, or your intention, or your nationality. That is what power does. I mean, that's what power does when it goes unchallenged. It spreads. It tests who it can get away with breaking. And it learns fast. We're long past the time for warnings. This is the aftermath of all the warnings you didn't listen to. And now that you've seen it, what are you going to do? Will you just feel bad and move on? Will you share an article? Maybe call a representative as if that does anything more than a statement of thoughts and prayers, if you only retreat back into the illusion that this was just one big mistake after the call? Or will you finally understand that the machine didn't malfunction, that it's operating exactly as designed? There's only complicity or resistance. So let this be your threshold. If you care at all about Ksenia, care about the ones without the press coverage, the ones without Harvard degrees, the ones without whiteness. Disobey the architecture of cruelty wherever it rises, because until no one is disposable, no one is safe. Safety is the lie. This is the challenge to that lie. The truth is, no one is safe. Stand up, make the calls, yes, but realize that's only a single cog in a machine that's much bigger. Where will you march? Who will you support? You can't march? Will you babysit somebody's kid while they go march? Will you do a carpool? Can you run a phone line? What can you do? What can you do? The excuses for what you can't do are long over, long gone. What can you do? Who will you support? Where will your dollars go? Where will you withhold those dollars from? What can you do? In the realization that no one is safe as long as this system is the way that it is. Whether or not Trump was in office, but now that he's here, I'll stop there. Hey, yeah, you. Before you click away to watch someone unbox a tactical toothbrush, let's talk about something real. Political Drain isn't just another content mill. We're a digital front in a very real war. Not with bullets, but with ideas, with action, and with solidarity. We pair urgent news with critical education. And we build community around actual resistance, not the hashtag kind. The kind that moves. But here's the thing. None of this is free. It isn't. Behind every video is time, labor, research, and some weird guy asking if we're going to pay the hosting bill. And yeah, some of that money goes to things we can't necessarily say out loud. If you know, you know. Let's just say our special ops aren't Call of Duty LARPers. They're people making real moves to protect, uplift, and organize. You're not just funding a channel. You're funding a resistance network in a world where capital still calls the shots. Unfortunately, in a system built on artificial scarcity, even mutual aid has a price tag. And if we want to grow, if we want to win, we need your help. We need your help. So if you've got even a few bucks to spare, toss it our way. It's not for ads. It's not for merch drops. But for people making moves in the shadows so others can do it in the light. It's just us and you. So fund the mission. Fund the fight. Fund the future. Because nobody's coming to save us. We save each other. That's how this works. Follow us on all these things you see here, and our link tree is in the description. Maybe we can get some merch.
That was the Political Drain podcast, which can be heard on groovechillradio.com/political-drain and can be viewed on the Political Drain YouTube channel anytime. Once again, thank you for listening to Groove Chill as we resist fascism in any form, pursue democracy, peace, and love.